You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Monday, the 20th of October 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.4%, 9,031. We'll have the details with David Scutt from Forex.com in a few moments. A lot of it had to do with China's GDP numbers, which showed annual GDP easing from 5.2% to 4.8% in the September quarter, but that was marginally better than expected. Industrial production was stronger than expected, although it is seeing a cooling in investment and retail sales. While the larger US economy is growing at its fastest pace in nearly 2 years at 3.8%, that is below China. And it also highlights a difficult balancing act facing Australia as Prime Minister Anthony Albanese prepares to meet US President Donald Trump. So to discuss all of that, I spoke with Shane Oliver, Chief Economist at AMP. Shane, first of all, what do the GDP figures say about China's economy?
Well, the Chinese GDP numbers tell us that the economy has basically slowed down from its pace in the first half. When it was sort of a bit above 5%, the latest numbers show growth around 4.8%. So a bit of a slowdown, but it's actually a little bit stronger than expected. The consensus was for 4.7% growth, and the quarterly number was also a bit stronger than expected. Basically, what you're seeing here is a cooling, particularly in investment, but also in retail sales. On the flip side, though, industrial production was actually a lot stronger than expected. And overall, you could argue, well, growth is still hovering around 5%, which is sort of where it's been for the last couple of years now.
Does it warrant any further stimulatory measures? I mean, is that something investors or the market is looking for?
Look, I think we probably will see further stimulatory measures out of China. Our growth looks roughly on track for the official target of around 3% growth this year. Could come in a little bit below that. And I do think we probably will see more stimulus measures. For example, if you look at retail sales, which have slowed down to just 3% growth, that partly reflects the wearing off of the trade-in discounts or inducements that the government was providing. So I think we'll see more measures to help consumer spending, but I don't think we'll see a big bang stimulus. We're not going to see another rerun of the GFC or anything like that. I think from here, stimulus out of China will be incremental and fairly constrained just to keep growth ticking over at around this 5% level.
Ultimately, I guess the key question is, what does this mean for Australia, especially at a time where the Prime Minister is in the US meeting President Donald Trump and the tightrope he has to walk to maintain the support of both economies?
Look, Australia faces a difficult balancing act here. The US is perhaps an economy and a country that we're closer to culturally, and we've had very long-term ties with the US, not just in defence, but also in everything else. By the same token, the Chinese and Australian economies are very closely intertwined. 35% or so of our exports go to China, less than 5% go to the US. And this was before the tariffs out of the US came into effect. So our economic relationship with China is far greater, as it is more broadly with Asia. And so that's a difficult balancing act. On the one hand, Australia wants to stay friends with the US, keep in good with Donald Trump, so to speak. But on the other hand, we don't want to upset China through a country with which we've grown increasingly close, particularly economically, but I think also culturally. You just look at the number of Chinese people or people from Chinese origin in Australia. There is now an increasing relationship with China on all fronts as well. So difficult balancing act for the government here. We want to stay friends with both parties.
Shane Oliver there, the Chief Economist at AMP. The market liked the data, though, because the ASX 200 rose after it was released late in the afternoon, the S&P ASX 200 closing up by 0.4%, 9,031 points. 9 of 11 sectors ended higher, the best performing financial followed by property, materials the worst, and of the worst and best performing stocks, Lynas Rare Earths up about 6.6%, Generation and Zipco up by about 4% each. The worst performing stocks included Deep Yellow, down by 18%, and Babcor, 17% weaker. So for a close look at the day's market action, including the market's reaction to those Chinese GDP figures, I spoke with David Scott from Forex.com. David, first of all, how would you describe investor sentiment at the moment and why?
Nervous, I would say, Ricardo. It's on one hand, I think people are nervous about the run-up we've seen in valuations across multiple asset classes, but at the same time, nervous to go to cash, which would traditionally be what you'd see people do in this environment. They don't know what to go and do. So what happens is we've seen this in every single time now, buying the dip, buying the dip. But it doesn't last long, and you're seeing signs of exhaustion starting to emerge there. So overall, very nervous.
It's an interesting time in geopolitics because you've got the Australian Prime Minister meeting Donald Trump later tonight. You've got Donald Trump meeting the Chinese president next week at a time China's economy is still continuing to expand 4.8%. What do you think, though, that means for investors?
I think it means that you're probably going to rule out there's a lesser chance that we'll see more stimulus coming through. And one thing that really caught my eye today, there was some property data that was released. New home prices down 0.4%, existing home prices down 0.6%. And then you overlay that over the top, what was going on with fixed asset investment in the actual national accounts in China. And that's very heavily linked to structures and the like. Our key commodity markets like iron ore, et cetera, that's really, really bad news for that particular sector. So I don't see that big stimulus push coming through, particularly in those areas that we've seen in the past.
Gold hit records last week, its biggest weekly gain in five. What's your take, and is the trend likely to go higher, or are there warnings there?
There are definitely warnings in place over a medium to longer term trajectory. I certainly feel like the price will continue to go higher. But in the short term, it's just run up so aggressively that it does go and make me a little bit concerned that we're seeing a near-term bubble. There are so many factors, though, that are feeding into this beast at the moment. You've got concerns about inflation. You've got concerns about what's going on with the US currency. You've got concerns about debt levels. And then you look at things like technicals, and a lot of them all align at once. So it doesn't really surprise me that we've seen the scale of the rally we've seen this year, but I would be cautious in the near term.
What about other precious metals? Because have they been rising for the same reasons as gold? You're the likes of silver, for example.
There are some idiosyncratic reasons, but realistically, across the precious metals complex, a lot of the same factors are at play. They've been depressed for a period of time. Gold led the move, and then what we're seeing is a lot of other metals like silver, like platinum, like palladium, all start to run and run really aggressively as well. There's, again, not one factor behind it, but like gold, they too are starting to look very stretched, particularly the platinum complex.
Can we talk about interest rates? They've been on a downward path in New Zealand. Today, though, inflation figures there show CPI at the very top of the RBNZ's 1 to 3% target band. What now? And are there any links to other global central banks, particularly what it potentially means for the challenges facing Australia's Reserve Bank?
We're just talking about what's been going on with gold. It's an absolute characterization of what's been going on with central banks globally, what we're seeing from the RBNZ. So you mentioned there at the top of its 1 to 3% target band now when it comes to inflation, a 1% increase quarter on quarter in Q3. But what you're seeing is that central banks are prioritizing labor market conditions and they're prioritizing economic activity and maybe not as much focus on inflation, which in the RBNZ case is very interesting because it is a sole inflation targeting bank. And so when you look at the reactions we're seeing there at this point in time, you look at hard assets that have got a premium, a scarcity premium attached to as well. It is not surprising to see that they have performed very, very strongly in this environment where the willingness to go and finish the job from central banks globally is simply not there.
And finally, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
It is an incredibly difficult environment to go and find value. And that's been honest. And I've been around for more than 2 decades in this field, and it is very, very difficult to go and find what you'd see to be something that's really undervalued. I wouldn't mind going and trimming some exposure to some of those areas that performed very, very strongly early in the year. And one area that could go and provide a bit of buttress if we do see some turbulence in markets is potentially the front end of sovereign curve. So short end government bonds. Because that way, if we see some sort of dramatic collapse in activity, they will rally. At the same time, you can lock in inflation beating rates still in those particular areas. But it is a very, very difficult environment at the moment to go and find anything you could go and describe as truly value.
That's David Scott there from Forex.com, and he wraps up the podcast for this Monday. Don't forget to give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click that subscribe button, and I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.